You do then this morning is open your Bibles. We're going to pick up where we left off last time in 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. And then we're going to pick up actually at verse 6. 1 Timothy 4. Follow along with me from verse 6. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." Let's unite our hearts now in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we are grateful that we are able to spend a little bit of time here this morning in your word, especially just getting set to face the details of life today and really every day, the opportunity to allow godliness to be the basis upon which we live our lives, to take your thinking, your viewpoint, and view life through the prism of what you think and what you say, and then to allow what you think and what you say to be how we view things and therefore how we live, how we respond, and what we manifest in our lives. We thank you for the time we can study your word this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, once again, if we're going to go back to verse 6 here, we, of course, have spent several weeks in this passage. The Apostle Paul is writing here to Timothy and warning him about the great apostasy that was coming and, in fact, did hit Asia. At the time he writes the book, it's not full-blown yet. When he writes 1 Timothy chapter number 1, he says things like, "Some have swerved, some have turned, some have left, some have departed." And in chapter 4, verse 1, "Some shall depart." But, of course, by the time he writes 2 Timothy, they've all left. So he's warning here about this great apostasy that was getting a pretty strong foothold at Ephesus. That is at the time Paul writes 1 Timothy. And he's seeking to equip Timothy to be able to save himself from the departure and to save those that would hear him, that would actually not just hear in the sense of audibly hear, but hear and take it to heart. If you'll look in that same chapter, chapter 4, verse 16, chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself," now watch this, "and them that hear thee." The idea of hear there, remember, faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Not everybody that was going to be sitting under Timothy's ministry and that was able to hear from a physiological, functional standpoint was going to be saved from the apostasy. Rather, when he says, "them that hear thee," that's hearing in a sense. Remember, Christ says, "Let him that is ears to hear, hear." That's the hearing of not just a physical, mechanical function of the physical anatomy of your body, your ear, but it's allowing that doctrine to penetrate your ear, but then go into your inner man. Isn't that interesting to think about it? That this is so amazing to think about this. Think about the transaction and the interaction that takes place on a regular basis from the spiritual realm to the physical realm to the spiritual realm. So think about what I just said there. I just now said some words, like when I quote that verse right there, "Saith and hear thee, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Christ died for our sin, buried and rose again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." So what? Think about what. All I just quoted some verses, right? Those verses are all God's words. God's words are spirit, and they are life, and yet they're black and white words on the page that you and I can read. So as I'm talking here, I'm actually forming, I'm using a physical, my physical body, you know, my lungs, my tongue, my mouth, my lips, things like that, to shape and to form the words. So then those words, they're spiritual words, they kind of get transformed in the idea of being used by a physical body, my tongue, lips, mouth, lungs, etc. And then those words come out of my mouth. And then those words come out of my mouth. So now, I mean, they're non-material. They're just sound waves, right? They're not physical. And so those non-material, non-carbon-based, you can't touch them and feel them. They just pass through the air, those sound waves. They go and they penetrate your, so your ear picks those up. So now, once again, they've been converted from spiritual, and they impact your physical part of your anatomy, known as your ear, your eardrum, and all those things there. And then it goes into your brain, and you hear what I say, and you interpret what I say, because you know the same language I'm talking about. You know the verses and so forth. And then they impact not just your brain, but then they impact your mind. Your brain and your mind, of course, are two different things, right? And then when you decide to believe what those verses say, they now go into your inner man, your mind and your inner man are the non-material part of you. They are non-carbon based, right? But they are very real. They're spiritual, but they're very real. So isn't that incredible? This whole transaction, when that verse talks about them that hear thee, when Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it's quite amazing. You take something that's spiritual, the Word of God, it impacts your physical, which is your physical ear, your brain, but then it goes into your mind and your inner man when you believe it, back to spiritual, and impacts the spiritual part of you. That's quite amazing. That whole interaction takes place, and it just in moments of time, as you're listening, either or as you're reading God's Word, you're sitting down thinking about it, because you're, like in the case of reading, you're using the physical part of your body, your eyes, the optic nerve, your brain. But then as you believe those words, you're reading those words on the page, they go into your eyes, your optic nerve, your brain, and so forth, sees them. And then your mind, and then the spiritual part of you, that your mind, and then your inner man. Boy, that's an amazing thing to think about that. Well, so what Paul is doing here, I got kind of off on a tangent there, but that's exciting. anyway, what Paul is doing here is he's seeking to equip Timothy as to how to be saved from that apostasy, and that anybody else would hear him could also be saved. But sad to say, most that were sitting under his ministry didn't hear him. They left the doctrine when he writes 2 Timothy. You know the verse, 2 Timothy chapter 1, over at verse 15, he says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me." And he mentions a couple of guys there, but they left the doctrine. But anyway, back here in chapter number 4, so Paul is instructing Timothy as to what he needs to do to be a quote-unquote good minister of Jesus Christ. Look back at 1 Timothy 4, 6. Back to 1 Timothy 4 at verse 6. Someone said this happened with Frank's class yesterday. I'm not sure what you mean by that. As in, did everybody left or you have technical problems? But anyway, so look at what he says at verse 6. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, and nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." That verse right there, okay, it sounds like the sound is breaking up again. I am recording it here, so at least we'll have a decent recording for the internet. Should I keep going? Is the sound fine? I know he says breaking up, but should I keep going? You want me to log out? Okay, we'll keep going. All right, so look at that verse right there at verse 6. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things." What things? Well, we've talked about before, the things about how God is dealing with the believer in this dispensation of grace. He identified at the end of verse 3, he says, "To them which believe and know the truth." Look back at verse 3. He says, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats." Okay, that's the law program. Let me go back to verse 3. He says, "Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Well, what truth? Well, the truth of the dispensation of grace. The truth of how God is dealing with the believer today. The truth that you're not under the law. You're under grace. The truth of the Word of God rightly divided. The truth of the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. You see, the warning here about that seducing spirits and doctrines of devils is that those that teaching in verse 3 when he says forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, those concepts are scriptural. They're right out of the Bible, but they're not the Word of God rightly divided. They're not what God is doing today in the dispensation of grace. And it takes an understanding of the Word of God rightly divided. It takes an understanding of the mystery. It takes an appreciation for the fact that we live in the dispensation of grace. God is not dealing with the believer today on the basis of how he dealt with the nation of Israel. The believer today is not Israel, not even spiritual Israel. Okay? Rather, the believer today is under grace, and God is dealing with the believer under grace. He's forming the church, the body of Christ, to fill the heavenly places with the body of Christ, which is called the new creature. So Paul says, "Them which believe and know the truth," he's talking about the truth of how God is dealing with the believer today. And so he says, at verse 4, he says, "For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." See, in the dispensation of grace, you can eat anything you want. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean you should eat anything. Okay? There's a lot of things out there you probably shouldn't eat. Okay? You see these weird things that people eat, like in South America and India and whatever. You think, yeah, I'm not going to eat that. You know, I mean, you can, but you probably shouldn't. All right? But the point is that God has made the change in the dispensation, and in the dispensation of grace, there are no dietary restrictions. And you can eat whatever you choose to eat. But maybe, you know, maybe choose wisdom as well and decide what to eat and not to eat, okay? And so now what he says is this. Because, by the way, that's review from last time. Go back and listen to that if you didn't get all that. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things," if you keep reminding the brethren as to how God is working with them in the dispensation of grace and what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, that they live under the grace, not under the law, that they're members of the body of Christ, they're not spiritual Israel. God is dealing with the believer today in a unique and a distinct and different way. The doctrine for the believer today is not found in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's not the doctrine that you and I are supposed to be following today. That's not where we find our specific instructions today in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Rather, you find the specific instructions today in the writings of the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, Romans through Philemon. That is where you have the specific instructions as to how God is dealing with the believer today. And even in Paul's epistles, there's some information about what Paul was doing early in his ministry as compared to Paul was doing later in his ministry, such as the sign gifts and so forth. All right. When that verse says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things," now watch this. If you keep reminding the brethren about how God is dealing with the believer today, he says this, "Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." I was at the conference this past weekend there in Chicago and had the great privilege and opportunity to present the message on Saturday night. And this particular conference, the weekend, it's the same weekend every year, and Richard has had these, I think, going on 30 years now. And it's really a conference that centers around people that would like to be involved in ministry, so either pastors or deacons, elders, whatever. People that just, to whatever degree, would like to be involved in ministry, whether that's teaching the Bible study one-on-one, or whether that's leading the Bible study in your home, or having a local assembly, whatever it is. The point is, it kind of focuses on really getting involved in the ministry. So, and I understand that, therefore that's all of us, okay? Because we're all ambassadors, right? And one of the things that I was talking about in my message, you can go back and listen to it, but was that, you know, when you're in the ministry and you're excited about the message of grace, you kind of, especially when you first come to see the message of grace, you get so excited about it, and you just are convinced that, man, you just got to get this message out to everybody because, man, everybody's going to be as excited as you are about the message of grace, right? Well, let me ask you to answer my question here. You know, and you can type something in here, make it brief, because a lot of people hear it, right? When you first saw this message, and then you started sharing it with all your friends and all your buddies and all your Christian connections and so forth, were they as excited about the message as you were? And someone type in. Do we have sound, by the way? No sound? Do we have sound right now? Okay, there we go. We do have good sound. Thanks. So he says it went over like a lead balloon. You know, you don't get quite the response to it that you think. And like, I'm going to pick on Scott here for just a moment. Not that he's the only one, but Scott, I know that. I mean, you send out hundreds and hundreds of emails to people over months and months and months, right? And, you know, probably everybody else did too, either emails or letters or, you know, you sent links to messages. You sent, and to this day, I mean, how many of your quote-unquote friends and quote-unquote Christian friends have come right along with you and said, man, we are so thankful that you showed this to us. I really, really appreciate doing this. Let's show this to others. You could probably count on one hand or maybe two hands the number of people that have come along. And I think we all can relate to that, because you see this message, you get excited about it, you want to get the ministry going, you want to talk to people. Again, whether it's just a Bible study of one or two or three or five or ten people, or try to get a local assembly going in your home, or go and rent a facility and getting something going there. And what can happen, and what does happen over time, is you can get quite discouraged. You know, you can go, wait a minute now. How come no one else is as excited about all this as I am? What's going on here? And not only what happens, do you see some people just not even interested in what you're trying to share with them, but sometimes you just see flat out, not just rejection, but angry responses and accusations attacking the message and then attacking you and saying, man, you're off your lid. You're into some crazy cult. What are you talking about? Don't talk to me about this. Stay out of my life. Or you're nuts. You've gone off your rocker. All kinds of things. Sometimes it can become very discouraging. Indeed, if you go read 2 Timothy, and this is kind of a theme that I was talking about Saturday night at the conference there, is Timothy, when he saw that great departure take place, he witnessed it firsthand. And he became very, very discouraged. He was in tears. He was gripped by the spirit of fear. He began to doubt in his own mind and heart whether he believed these things. He'd become, even to a certain degree, ashamed of the message and the messenger. And so you understand, this can hit you pretty hard. And I mentioned that night, based on this verse, 1 Timothy 4:6, that if you and I will just do this, take our eyes off of the circumstances, don't expect the world to be as excited as you are about the message, so have realistic expectations, not unrealistic expectations. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't allow what people do with the word rightly divided to change what you do with the word rightly divided. Meaning, don't allow it to cause you to depart. Instead, ask God, God, what do you think about what I am doing? Ask God that question. That's what prayer is. You're just talking to God. Make your request. Well, here's a request. God, what do you think that I am doing with your message? What do you think I am doing about it? What do you think of what I am doing about it? So now watch this verse. This verse says this. Here's God quoting to you. Here's God's answer. He says, brother, sister in Christ, here's what he says. Verse 6, if you put the brethren in remembrance of things, you are a good minister of Jesus Christ. There it is. Right there. See that? You have an objective standard about God's opinion regarding what you are doing, regarding what I am doing. You have an objective standard right there in black and white. You don't even have to wait to the judgment seat of Christ to hear God say that to you. If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, if you keep reminding people about who they are in Christ, about how God is dealing with them in the dispensation of grace, about their identity in the church, the body of Christ, the one new man, the new creature, about their heavenly hope, the heavenly calling, the heavenly purpose, the revelation of the mystery, if you keep reminding people about that. Notice that verse doesn't say, if all the people you remind, if they all remember it, then you're a good minister. It doesn't say it that way. He says, you just put the information out there. You just be faithful to put the information out there. And if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. See that? And I said that to the men at the meeting on Saturday night because some of them are brand new to the message of grace. Some of them are just wanting to get into the ministry and so forth. And again, they probably haven't experienced some of the discouraging events. They probably haven't experienced some of the down times and some of the times that you feel really beat up and that you want to quit and so forth. I had one brother, a dear brother in Christ. In fact, he's listening to us right now, I believe. Yeah, he is. And he told me afterwards, he said, you know, John, I appreciated that message because, man, you just talk to people and you just get discouraged and you just kind of want to quit and because they just you just don't seem to be getting anywhere. So you kind of, your mind plays those tricks on you. You think, well, what's the use? You know, I'm saved. I know the message of grace. But I'm just stuck in a, you know, no one else wants it and so forth. And so you get discouraged. And he said something to the effect that he appreciated these verses because these verses are there for a reason. They are there to encourage us. They are there to give us God's insight of His view of what we are doing. Not what the world's view is, but God's view. And I got to tell you, me personally as well, that verse has been a great comfort to me over the 30-something years of the ministry here. It really has. And I've read that verse many, many times, and just from that perspective, I say, okay, Lord, you know, we're preaching this message, we're teaching this message, and any ministry kind of goes through ebbs and flows where you kind of grow a little bit, you have a few more people, then a few people leave, and then a few more people come, show up, then a few more people leave, and you kind of, you know, sometimes you just, it's almost, it seems like you're going to grow a little bit, and then shrink back a little bit, and you think, oh, Lord, and you have to, I've talked to the Lord about that. I said, Lord, okay, Lord, I got to know what you think about this. And the Lord says this. He says, listen, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So you say, okay, Lord, then Lord God, I'm going to believe your evaluation of what I'm doing. Lord, if I go out and if I just continue to preach, continue to preach what you say you are doing in the dispensation of grace, regardless of the numbers that hear me, regardless of the rejection, regardless of what people say about it, about the ministry, you know what, Lord? I'm going to operate on what your opinion is. And your opinion is this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And so I say to each and every one of you here today, listening today, live right now on Pal Talk, and others will be listening to this after the fact. They'll be listening to it on the recording. So I say to you here today, first of all, make sure that you are putting the brethren in remembrance of these things, of the right doctrine. You see, if we're preaching back here and putting the brethren under the doctrines of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, well, then you're not a good minister of Jesus Christ. You're not doing what God is doing today. If I'm preaching back here and telling the believers that, listen, you're back here in Leviticus, or you're back here in 2 Chronicles 7, where everybody wants to quote that verse, if my people which are called by my name will repent, I'll heal their land. That's not you. So if I was putting you, if you and I are putting others back in the former dispensation or in a future dispensation, meaning the kingdom and so forth, if we are teaching the brethren that they are Israel, that they're spiritual Israel, that they need to be praying Israel's prayers, Israel's prophecies, Israel's promises, well then you're not a good minister of Jesus Christ. You are not doing what God says needs to be done today. So that verse says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, ask yourself, make an objective evaluation, an honest, sincere evaluation of, well, what is it that you are teaching the brethren? So if you are teaching, if you're believing and then you are teaching the Word of God rightly divided. If you are believing and then teaching the revelation of the mystery, what Paul calls the mystery of Christ. If you are believing and teaching what God is doing in the dispensation of grace, He's forming the church, the body of Christ, the new creature, the one new man. And He's dealing with the believer under grace today, not under the law. So if that's what you're believing, and that's what you're teaching, then you have in that verse right there, God's evaluation of it. And it's like He's saying, yeah, just stick with that. You know, let me show you another couple of other verses along these same lines. Look over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Watch verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Okay, so be strong in who God has made you to be in Christ on the basis of His grace. And all that that means. Be strong in your understanding, your awareness of, your appreciation of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is, what God has done to you by His grace in Christ, who He's made you to be, how He deals with you on the basis of your identity in Christ, totally by grace and always by grace. So be strong in that. Now watch verse 2. He says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Now, what are the next two words there? What are the next two words? Someone type that in. What are the next two words? It says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, comma, what are the next two words?" Type in the next two words, someone. That's 2 Timothy 2:2. "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Do you see the next two words there? It says the same. The same. Don't change them one bit. It says the same. "Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See, take the same identical exact doctrine. Paul is saying to Timothy, those same things I taught you, Timothy, don't change it. Don't modify it. It doesn't need to be new and improved. Just take the same things and commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See how that confirms that there? That confirms that verse over in 1 Timothy 4:6, when it says there, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." See that? So it's the same. Don't change the information. Don't modify it. Don't try to new an improvement. It works just fine the way that God taught it to Paul and then Paul taught it to others. It will accomplish God's work in the hearts of those who choose to hear it, those who choose to believe it. See that there? Look back at, therefore, at 1 Timothy 4:6. He says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ." And then look what he goes on to say in that verse. "Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine where thou hast attained." Don't you love that word "nourished"? You know, you wake up in the morning, you go and you get some breakfast because you want to nourish yourself to be able to have the strength to go through the day. And then you have some, maybe a snack mid-morning, then maybe a good lunch again to provide that nourishment. And then maybe have a snack in the afternoon, maybe have a good supper, a nice big supper at night and so forth. Because why are you doing that? Well, it's because you want to get nourished. You want to get the spiritual, I'm sorry, you want to get the from your food, your physical food, you want to get those vitamins and those enzymes and those nutrients and the minerals that you need for your physical body to provide for all of the millions and millions and millions of cells in your physical body so your physical body can function properly, so that you can think with a clear mind, so that your whole body can function, your energy level. So think about that word, nourished up. Well, listen, there's a parallel, friends. When you eat good, healthy food, you provide good nourishment to your body. Now, some of y'all now think I'm giving you a hard time, because a lot of people don't eat good, healthy, physical, nourishing food. They eat junk food all day long, and then they wonder why they have health issues, right? Well, so too, if you eat good, spiritual, nourishing food, that's the Word of God rightly divided, it will build you up spiritually. That's right. That's exactly right, Pops. It's sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. You realize how much junk food, spiritually speaking, Christian people are feeding themselves and having fed to them? They're being taught the Word of God wrongly divided. They're sitting in the ministry of those who are putting them under the law, putting them under Israel's program and so forth, telling them that they're going through the tribulation period. And listen, that won't nourish you up, friends, because that's not the spiritual nutrition conveying what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. So the whole idea when he says nourished up in the words of faith, that phrase words of faith, the Word of God rightly divided, that's the words of faith. And a good doctrine that's good for you, it'll build you up. It is sound doctrine. And he says, whereunto thou hast attained. And that's the whole issue there. That the Word of God in so many ways is likened unto and compared to physical, what you take in nutritionally, physically speaking, milk and meat. Milk and meat. Let me just show you a quick illustration of this. And I know you guys know all this, but look, go to Hebrews 4. Look at this. Milk and meat. Look at Hebrews 5. Look at this passage here. Hebrews 5 says this at verse 12. Hebrews 5:12 says this. It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And the main reason I want to go to that passage is you can see how the writer of Hebrews likens the word of God unto milk and meat. So just like when you're a baby, physically speaking, it's proper, it's right to take in, you know, milk. That mother's milk is so important, especially for the newborn and so forth. But then eventually, over time, of course, you know, you got to start eating some solid food, some good, you know, vegetables, some good meat, that type of thing, because you need the protein beyond the source of just the milk. And so you can see the parallel there. Well, listen, friends, so too. Spiritually speaking, the Word of God is likened unto milk and meat for your inner man. But it has, in order for it to provide that nourishment, that good response, that good edification, it has to be rightly divided. You have to understand what God is doing in the dispensation of grace. Study it that way. Take it into your inner man. And then that will build you up spiritually. That's why he says, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. The idea of thou hast attained, that's the idea of growth. Okay, you've attained to this level now go to this level. And, you know, we can compare it to the idea of going through school. You first grade, then you attain to second grade, then you gain to third grade, and, you know, fifth, tenth, twelfth, bachelor's degree. See, the point is, just like in the physical realm, you have levels of your growth based on what you've come to understand in various disciplines. Well, so too spiritually, the idea of whereunto thou hast attained. Whatever level that you and I are at in our understanding and appreciation of God's Word right now, right today, you know what? Keep growing. whatever level you are have attained to, don't just sit on your laurels and think, hey, I know enough. No, 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 you don't. Just keep studying. Keep growing. Keep learning. Okay? Keep being built up in the faith. Just like you wouldn't quit eating, right? You've got to keep eating. You know why you got to keep eating. Okay? Well, so too, spiritually speaking, keep growing in God's Word. All right. Well, I didn't get quite as far as I wanted to today, but that's okay. We'll pick up. The next time we're going to talk about exercise. You see how he mentions exercise in verse 7, exercise in verse 8? He's talking about it in a particular way, so we'll talk about that next time. I enjoy exercising. I don't get to do as much as I'd like to, but I really enjoy exercising. I imagine you guys do too as well. We're out of time here this morning, so we'll pick up here next time. Let's just do this. If you have a question related to our message today that we just went over right now, just go ahead and you can type your question in. If you have a microphone, then we'll give you the microphone. You can ask your question or make your comment about the way about the message that we learned went over today. Just click on your raise hand icon there. Ken says, exercise profiteth little. He's, of course, quoting the verse there. So you'll have to come back next week, and we'll let Ken tell us what kind of exercise he does on a regular basis, you know. Hey, Scott Howard, here you go with the microphone.
Excellent lesson, sir. Thinking that we're building up that doctrine of the inner man and at the judgment seat of Christ. That's why I don't know the verse, you would know it, but it's some stars will shine brighter than others because of the doctrine that's been built up. Put the saints in those positions of what they're sir. Great lesson, thanks, sir.
Yes, actually, it kind of broke up, Scott, what you said, but I think I got the gist of it that you were referring to 1 Corinthians 15, where he talks about one star differs from another star in glory, the capacity of shining. And manifestation of light and so forth. So yeah, that is going to be manifested out there, and that is going to indeed be the result of that sound doctrine being built up in our soul. So I think that was kind of the gist of what you were saying there. So thanks for sharing that. We will be on for our next live session this evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we certainly would like to encourage you to join us there if you can. And so for now, let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer, and then we will dismiss the class. Our gracious God and Father, we're so grateful for the time that we could spend in your word this morning, once again learning about our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and allowing what you say right here in your word to give us insight, wisdom, strength, and encouragement for the battle and for that walk of faith. We thank you that you have given us, right here in your scripture, rightly divided, the words of faith and good doctrine, sound doctrine, that does indeed nourish us up in what you are doing today. Thank you for your love for us, your kindness to us, your goodness to us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, well, thank you.